Shall we start? Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. I'd like to read verses 10 and 11. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Apostle Paul was given many things to reveal about God's plan for mankind. He was given the responsibility to minister the truth of the gospel to the nation of Israel and to the Gentiles. It was given to him to explain to men how Jews and Gentiles were to be made as one through the gospel. This is Paul's main message in his writings during the Acts period. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he presents truth that is the subject of this study. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The truth of reconciliation may be the greatest teaching of Scripture. It gives us the intent and the result of the gospel. It concerns all men, believers and unbelievers. To the believer, it is one of the most important teachings of Scripture. Reconciliation speaks of the need for the faith of the gospel and gives the joy of accounts settled to those who are reconciled through faith. To the unbeliever, the refusal to be reconciled to God through the gospel brings his sin to account before God. The burden of sin, not reconciled, is carried with him in his life, and the payment of the accounts due determines his eternity. The great truth of reconciliation is a mystery to many men. As a result, they will face the wrath of an angry God. Unfortunately, some men who are reconciled through the gospel fail to understand the present joy of declared righteousness. The intent of this study is to bring to light, to the reconciled believer, the peace of God that is past understanding. The word reconciliation means bringing again into unity or agreement. Today, it is usually used in terms of finances. For example, in the tallying of accounts or in a settling of an agreement of debt. In Scripture, it speaks of the need for men to be reunited with their Creator. The alienation between God and man is the result of men's sin against the authority of the Creator. For this reason, men have an account due before God that will be satisfied or brought to an agreement. Before we begin this study, it is important to establish the meaning of certain words. These words are, first of all, reconcile, which means the need to restore to harmony or friendship. Reconciling, which is the action involved in the restoration. So one is the need and one is the action. Reconciled, which is the state of the completed transaction. Reconcile means the need to restore to harmony or friendship. Reconciling, which is the action involved in the restoration. And reconciled, which is the state of the completed transaction. These three words reflect the way that the gospel works upon men. Reconcile concerns the need of all men to be restored to fellowship with God. It is the reason God sent His Son to die for sinners. Reconciling concerns the method or manner in which men are to be restored. The action of faith in the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, or the gospel, is our manner of reconciling. Reconciled is the peace of God that belongs to those who have had the work of faith in their life through Christ. It is a present position of those who grasp it by faith. To the believer, these three words demonstrate the action of the gospel in his life. First of all, he has been brought to understand his need to be restored to God. He must reconcile. Reconciling speaks of his present struggle of faith as he sees the gospel at work in his life. Believing and entering into the gospel causes struggles between his old and new nature. In this we know we are being reconciled. Reconciled speaks of the peace of God that belongs to all men of faith. This is the peace of God beyond understanding. Reconciles is the present position of those who have been justified by faith. The great truth of reconciliation is in many ways the reason for the revealed truth of God. The Scriptures are a record of God's plan of providing a means to restore mankind to fellowship with his Creator. Today, this restoration is accomplished through the work of the gospel by the obedience of his Son. Shortly after the fall of man, we find the promise of a way for men to be reconciled to God. This promise follows a pronouncement of judgment upon Satan for his willful deception of the woman. We read of this in Genesis 3, verses 15 through 24, where the Lord speaks directly to Satan, and then to the woman, and lastly to the man, Adam. In this passage, we find an eternal curse given to Satan, and the promise of life given to the man and the woman. We also read of the death of innocent animals that lost their lives to shield man from the nakedness of his unbelief. It is through the seed of the woman who was deceived that the promise of hope is to come, not through the man who willfully chose to disobey his Creator. Although the term reconcile is not mentioned in this early revelation of the plan of God, the reconciliation of man is in the mind of God. Adam, and looking forward to the hope which was to come, pronounced his wife, Eve, the mother of all living. Adam looked forward in faith to the fact that the Creator would provide a means for men to be reconciled. The book of Leviticus contains the laws of God concerning the means of sacrifice for his people in order to atone for their sins. These sacrifices were to be performed by the descendants of Jacob's son Levi. They were the priests of Israel. In fact, the name Leviticus means pertaining to Levites. These priests were men that were called to intercede on behalf of the nation of Israel. As all men, they were also guilty of sin before God. In Leviticus, we read how the people and the priests were to identify with the different sacrifices offered for the atonement of their sins. They were to lay their hands upon the sacrifice before it passed through the fire of the Lord. This fire was the one that originally came down from God. It was not kindled through the works of men. What is important to remember about any sacrifice offered to God for reconciliation was first realized many years before by Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, when he was preparing to offer up the Son of Promise upon the altar of God. He said, "God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." In the Old Testament, any acceptable sacrifice offered up to God for the reconciliation of men has these things in common. God provides a sacrifice, for all things come from God. God provides the means to apply and to accept the sacrifice. The fire on the altar of God came down from heaven. men have to humble themselves and identify with the sacrifice. In these same ways, the coming of Christ and the work of the gospel is mirrored in the souls of men today. Today, we have the completed revelation from God concerning His plan for the redemption of men. The truth of reconciliation is in many ways similar to the gospel. Knowledge of how God provided a means to restore men to fellowship with Him is tightly woven into the fabric of this truth. The first way in which God's desire to restore all men to fellowship with Him is to end all divisions among the children of Adam. Following the calling out of the nation of Israel to serve God, there remained a division between Israel and other men. This separation was ended through the death of Christ for the sin of all men. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, Paul speaks of the importance of all men to be identified with Christ through the unity of faith. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We must remember that at this time period, as he interacts, the plan of God involved bringing the division between Jew and Gentile to a close in the death of Christ for all men. In this way, all men could be reconciled to God through faith in the death of Christ. Getting men to understand this truth is Paul's main message during this time. Paul's letters to the Thessalonians, the Corinthians, the Romans, the Galatians, and to the Hebrews all concern this truth in the plan of God. Paul has this reconciling in mind in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Paul, in speaking to believers in Corinth, tells them of the importance of God's plan to reconcile men, both Jew and Gentile, through the finished sacrifice of Christ. To those of faith, the blessing of life through Christ is upon them. To those who believe not, the penalty of death remains. Furthermore, 2 Corinthians 2:12, 14, and 16 says this: furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and make manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto a God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life, and who is sufficient for these things. Paul is speaking of the fact that God acted by His own will to bring the message of life through Christ to those who believed. In so doing, the message of death is upon them who believe not. In other words, the death of Christ is of no effect to those who believe not. By their unbelief, they remain in death, not brought to life in Christ. He is speaking directly of the fact that it is not only through identification by faith in the death of Christ can any man be reconciled to God. Not only of those of the Gentiles who had not received the law, but also of Israel who had the law of God. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Galatians 5, 4-6. The message of Paul during his time period in God's plan involved the breaking down of the differences between Israel and the Gentile nations. This was done through faith in the death of Christ on the cross for all men. In Galatians, Paul speaks of the reconciling of all men as a work of God through faith, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we, Jews and Gentiles, might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians chapter 3. In this same letter to the Galatians, Paul speaks of the fact that Abraham was justified or reconciled to God before he received the law. In other words, before he received the promise of the Son who would become the nation of Israel, he was declared just. This is because he believed God. Believing God is faith. What was yet to be fully revealed to Paul about the reconciled believer is briefly mentioned in this verse, Galatians 3, verse 14, that is, the promise of the Spirit through faith. This is a subject of Paul's post-Acts epistles. These letters are Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon, Titus, and 1 and 2 Timothy. These are all written after God reveals to Paul that Israel is to be set aside for their unbelief in Acts chapter 28. They center on the believer who understands the promise of the Spirit. He understands these things by faith. The reconciliation of God and the believer that may now be known is a result of faith in the believer and nothing else. For the believer has to believe God based upon the word of God alone. In the same way that Abraham was declared right with God before he became Abraham, the believer is declared right solely by faith. In his inter-Acts ministry, Paul wanted men to understand that not only through faith, Paul wanted men to understand that only through faith could a man please God. This is true both for those of Israel and for those of the Gentiles. Paul begins his ministry in the post-Acts by reminding the believer of these things. He speaks of this in Ephesians chapter 2 as a foundation for his new message about reconciliation. I've combined some of these verses in this chapter of Ephesians together. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Paul is speaking of the separation between those of Israel who had the law contained in ordinances and the Gentiles who did not in the past tense. They were far off, but are now, which is the present tense, because of faith in the death of Christ, both Jew and Gentile are made close or reconciled to God. This is because of the action of the Spirit of God upon the hearts of men. Some of the things God has done in the hearts of believers are: first, God enlightened our understanding to hear the gospel, Ephesians 1, verse 17. Second thing, God quickened us to obey the gospel in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. God sealed us to himself with his Spirit in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. These three facts are all contained in the truth of reconciliation. God provided the gospel, or means to reconcile men to him. God called us to become obedient to the sacrifice of Christ, and God sealed the work of the gospel into our hearts. God has declared us to be reconciled. This is the promise of the Spirit of God in the believer. Paul speaks of the fact that he has been given the message and responsibility to reveal to all men that God has provided a way for them to be reconciled to God. He first mentions this in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19. The next letter written by Paul, which is Romans, he reveals more things regarding God's message of reconciliation to men. In Romans 5, 10 through 11, we are told of the continuing action of the gospel in the hearts of men. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. Consider what Paul said in this way. First, we are made aware of the fact that we were enemies with God, the need to be reconciled. Secondly, we come to understand that we may only be reconciled through the death of Christ for us, the means of reconciliation. And lastly, we come to the point where we understand that we are reconciled or at one through God through our identification with the gospel. We are saved by his life. We are reconciled. These three things are the action of faith in us through the gospel. That the believer is saved by the life of Christ speaks to the fact that even though Christ died on the cross, he was resurrected into life. The believer who is identified with Christ by faith in the gospel has also passed through death and is now, present tense, alive. The fact that Christ was not held in death proves to us that our atonement, or at-one-ment, with God is complete. We are, that is present tense, reconciled with God. This is a settled fact. The believer who understands this and makes it part of his life will fully understand the joy of the Lord that belongs to the reconciled. He knows this because he understands that he is completely identified with Christ through faith in the gospel. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. Paul's letters that were written after the book of Acts closes have truth for the believer who understands he is reconciled to God through the gospel. They contain information for us about a new position for people of faith, which is unique throughout all history. They also explain how to have the peace of God, which belongs to everyone who is reconciled and knows it. Knowing some things about the truth of reconciliation, consider what Paul means in these verses. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. This passage in Colossians chapter 1 reviews some things we have learned about reconciliation. First, we have the reason or need to be reconciled. Chapter 1 and verse 21 of Colossians chapter 1. The means of reconciliation is given in verses 20 and 22. The results of being reconciled are a new position in verse 18 and being declared perfect in verse 22. The continuing faith of the believer is in verse 23, which is the active hope of the believer. The believer is no longer identified with Israel, but solely with Christ, in verse 18. As sure as the sacrifice of Christ on the cross was sufficient payment for sins, the believer who is identified with Christ is declared holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight in verse 22. We are reconciled. The believer is complete in Christ. He is no longer under the condemnation of God. In Colossians 3, verse 15, and Philippians 4, 7, and 4, 9, Paul speaks of the result of a believer who is reconciled and knows it. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Those things which ye have both learned and received, and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The truth of reconciliation is at the heart of the gospel. Men need to be reconciled to God. The debt of man's sin needs to be settled and paid in full. God demands it. Knowledge of these things is not enough to effectively bring reconciliation to pass in the hearts and minds of men. It takes an act of faith performed by the Spirit of God upon men who are dead in sin and cannot hear the call of God on their own. Only through faith in the gospel can man come to the state of being reconciled to God and therefore move from a state of death into life. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. The joy of a man reconciled to God, whose debts has been paid in full, is available to any who will believe God and take it by faith. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The declared righteousness of God and the perfection of Christ can only belong to us through faith. I am amazed by how few believers there are that understand the joy and peace of God that belongs to those who are reconciled to God through the gospel. Our new position, enjoyed because we are reconciled in Christ, is unknown by many believers. The fact that they are totally identified and declared perfect in Christ in the mind of God is a result of the action of faith in the believer. God has declared these things to be so because he has reconciled us in the gospel. We are required by faith to believe God. Like Abram of old, all we have is God's word on the fact that we are declared so in Christ. I believe that there are some reasons why some men do not receive the things God has declared for them. One is that they don't give themselves wholly over to faith. The greatest part of being completely reconciled to God is only grasped by faith. We are required to believe God and count those things that are not as if they are so. Our faith demands it. There are many believers who live in fear of the judgment seat of God at the end of their time on this earth. In fact, Paul does mention this during the interacts period of his ministry, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We must remember that at this time, when this was written, Israel was still in the plan of God. The Gentile nations were reconciled with Israel through the gospel, for Christ had indeed died for all men. These Gentiles had certain commandments of God given to them to keep. We find these things in Acts chapter 11, chapter 15, and Acts chapter 21. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul reminds these Gentiles believers of the commandments that were placed upon them. It is important to remember that at this time, all believers, Jew and Gentile, look forward to the imminent return of Christ to set up the kingdom and to judge the earth. As the Acts comes to a close, Paul has the new position of the believer revealed to him. This is based solely upon faith. In Colossians chapter 2, he speaks of the fact that the ordinances of the past have been set aside and replaced by the completeness of faith in Christ. The believer is complete in Christ. It is faith that demands that he accept and live in the fact that he is totally reconciled to God in every way. I cannot find any mention of future judgment for the believer in Paul's post-Acts writings. The believer is presented as perfect and complete in Christ. I am not saying that the believer is free to live without any constraints upon him at all, for it is understood that the Holy Spirit is the controlling force in the life of the believer. It is contrary to the new nature of the believer to live in or serve the sin of his former nature, for he is to walk in faith, complete in Christ. I will leave you with these words of Paul, and I implore you to make them yours by faith and live in the peace of God that belongs to those who are reconciled. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.